John chapter 5 and verse 28. Well, Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and these who are saved," as who is referring to, "and they that have done evil," those that are unsaved, "unto the resurrection of damnation." And we know that when we die, our spirit goes to be with Christ. Our bodies are buried in a cemetery somewhere. And those who die without God, or their bodies are in the cemetery, but yet they're not in the lake of fire. They're in hell, in the center part of the earth, but they're not in the lake of fire as of yet. That happens there in the book of Revelation 20. But he says here there's going to be two resurrections. And there'll be a rapture, there'll be a return of Christ after 7 years, and then there'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign, and then there'll be the great white throne judgment. Then he says in verse 30, "And I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." In other words, he said, I'm not going to tell you about myself, and I'm going to let other things and other people tell you about me. Look at verse 32. "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." I'm going to stop reading there for sake of time. And I want to speak to you tonight on this thought here, if you'll write this down, a reliable source. A reliable source. Now, a reliable source is something or someone that we can trust. Something or someone that we can turn to in the hour of need, in the hour of maybe decision making or direction taken. A reliable source is someone that we're able to take their own word on and their own wisdom on and act upon that. A lot of times we can look and learn and lean upon this a reliable source. In other words, it's like when you go to a bank and get a loan and they have a stack of papers, it seems like a Charlotte telephone book, and you got to sign all these things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so you're sitting there and they just turn that paper there and face you. And they say, "Just sign there at the bottom." And you're trying, and they said, "Oh, this is what it means here." And they just give you a little brief summary. You say, "Okay, sign your name." You're just accepting their fact or their words as fact and truth. You're going on them to be a reliable source. You're going on them as being trustworthy. And so therefore you sign your life away, amen or not. And so we have to trust the loan officer to be reliable in what he's telling you or what she's telling you about the loan and things of that nature. Here in John chapter 5 is a very interesting chapter, and it's jam-packed with a lot of great truths here and a lot of great thoughts. Here Jesus in John chapter 5 has been questioned because here what he done in the early part of chapter 5, he healed this impotent man of 38 years. He healed this man on the Sabbath day, and it got the Jews, the devout Jews, really angered at Jesus. And so therefore they began to question him about his messiahship, if you will, about his ability, because he did this healing. But also they got angry because he said that he and God the Father are the same, that he's equal with God. And so it talks about this here in this fifth chapter of the book of John. So he's accused of healing this man. Look at verse 15. "After the man was healed," the Bible says in John 5:15, "the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. which had made him whole. Listen, that's what Jesus wants us to do. Amen. When we get saved by the grace of God, he wants us to go tell people that it was Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not the church. It's not baptismal waters. But it's Jesus that made a difference in my life. Look at verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. They sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus got them all stirred up. He got them all ruffled in their feathers. And here Jesus then brings in, as a lawyer would do, he brings in some character witnesses, if you will. He gives a list of things, some reliable sources that they can look to. They can listen to these reliable sources. Let's look at these ones that he gives here. Look at verse 36. He says, listen, I want you to know I have a greater work than John for the works. The works. He said, you can look at the works that God the Father has given me to do, and the works do testify of who I am. And then he says the Father there in verses 19 down through verse 27. And then also verse 37 and 38, he talks about the Father has borne witness of me. He says, I've got some reliable sources. He said, I've got the works, the miracles that I've wrought, that I've done. He says, I've got God the Father who rules and reigns on the throne of glory. He's my reliable witness. He's my reliable source. Then in verse 39, he says, I've got the scriptures. He says, search the scriptures and see if you've got eternal life. He said, they are they which testify of me. And so here Jesus is just simply pointing out to these people that he's got some reliable sources that declare who he says that he is. Now, these are probably the most powerful and reliable sources that he had. But you know what? When I read this and studied this out here, I find out there's one more reliable source. Did you pick up on that? Look there, please, in verse 33. In verse 32, go back there. Then another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto who? John. Who's John? John the Baptist. He says, I want you to know, listen, I've got a reliable source here. I not only have the works that I've done, I not only have my Father testifying for me, witnessing for me, not only do I have the whole canon of Scripture, the Word of God declaring and testifying to me, he said, but there's one man that I know that's living, walking, and functioning, and dwelling upon the earth, the face of the earth, and his name is John. He said, he is a reliable source. Listen, I wonder if someone on our job tonight, if someone in our community in which we live, listen, wanted to know the truth of God, wanted to know the true and living God, would they sin for me or would they sin for you? Jesus said in verse 33, he said, ye sent unto John. It was the people beckoning John to testify and to bear witness of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. When folks look at us on the job and even in the neighborhood, would they look at us and say, you know what? If I want to know anything of truth, if I want to know anything about the true and living God, all I got to do is go knock on their door and they'll bear witness of it. All I got to do is watch them at work in the yard, watch them shop at the shopping center, watch them on the assembly line, on their job and their business, and they will declare by the life they lead and the life they live that they know God. That's what they were saying about John. He said, listen, Jesus said, you're having a hard time. You're wanting to kill me. You're wanting to kill me because I healed a man on the Sabbath day. You're wanting to kill me. You're even more angry because I said that I and God are equal together. But I want you to know, if you want a reliable source, you go ask John the Baptist about me. And I wonder, could God put my name there? I wonder, would Jesus say that about me? Could Jesus say, listen, Concord and Cabarrus and Rowan County, if you want to know anything about God the Father, you just go ask that Cruz fella. Go down here at his Baptist church and they'll tell you about him. They love him. They're looking to him. They're living for him. But I thought about John here. Now, let me just bring out a few things I told you earlier. I have four thoughts here, 4 points that make up this thought. I want you to notice here, John is a reliable source. What's so special about John? Well, look, number one, write this down. Let's look, first of all, at the character of John. The character of John. We're talking about John the Baptist, not John the Beloved. We're talking about John the Baptist. Two different individuals here. Now we think about the character of John the Baptist. That word character has the idea of who we really are when no one else is watching. It's amazing how different our attitude and our actions and our behavior becomes if we think someone else is watching us. If we think someone else is looking on, I told Tyus that I think maybe yesterday I said, son, we need to be careful in this day and age of technology because we just don't know. There are people taking videos and taking pictures that people have no earthly idea they're being videoed or taped. I said, they may do you and may do me like that. We don't know. We've got to be careful with all that. And I tell you, listen, friend, here Jesus Christ is putting John's character on display, and he reveals this here in verse 33, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Back in verse 32, he says, I know, Jesus said, I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He says about John's character, he is a trustworthy man. He's an honest man. He's a man of integrity. He's not going to pull the wool over your eyes. He's not going to tell you half lie, half truth, or what it may be. Listen, he's going to be honest with you. John is a reliable source because John is a man of character. Go back with me, hold your place here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1 right quick. The Gospel of Luke 1, we see the birth of John. John's birth was a very unique birth as well. Here's Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were well up in years. And also Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, had conceived 6 months prior to the conception of the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. But here we find Elizabeth is with child. Look there in verse 30, Luke 1 and verse 57. Luke 1:57. And now Elizabeth, the full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors said, and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. John. He's going to take on the characteristics. Not of his father per se, Zacharias, but he's going to take on the characteristics of being a child of God. Look back in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Who's leaping here? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Who's leaping in the womb at the salutation, at the good news that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, is now in the womb of Mary? Who's leaping in the womb? John the Baptist is leaping in the womb of his mother Mary, or his mother Elizabeth. And so we find here that he was called and commissioned by God. Go to Luke chapter 7 right quick. Luke 7:28. Mentioned some things about John here. Luke 7:28. And Jesus said, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Think of that. Here Jesus said, if you want to know who I am, you go ask Joe, you go ask Jim, you go ask Terry, you go ask David, you go ask James, go ask Brian, you go ask that crowd out here at his Baptist church. They'll tell you who I am. He said, listen, if you want to know who I am, you go ask John the Baptist. I mean, listen, when he heard about me still in the mother's womb, he leaped and his mother was filled with the Spirit of God. You want to know something about John, you know his character. He's an honest man. Jesus said there's not a greater prophet. He's not some thief. He's not some hireling. Listen, he's not peddling the gospel, my friend, to build his big houses, to buy his new cars and things of that nature and build up a name for himself. Listen, Jesus said he's a great prophet and there's none greater than John. He's talking about John the Baptist. He's a man of character. May I say tonight that character is very important, amen or not? Let me encourage you tonight, build your character before you build a bank account. as one preacher told his son. Build your character before you build your business. Be a person of character. Be someone of character. Now listen, Jesus could have said anything about old John right there. He could have said, yeah, old John's a good preacher, I tell you that. Yeah, he does pretty good. You know, he can get some good outlines together. He can really give you some good illustrations. And he could say a lot of things about old John the Baptist. But he said, there's none greater, born of woman, than John the Baptist. Now look in Titus chapter 2 right quick. Look at one verse here. This is what we ought to strive for every day. Here in Titus 2 and verse 8, he said, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We should live our lives in such a way that, listen, if someone on the job says, I need some help, I need to talk to somebody, somebody will say, hey, old Billy Bob down here, he's a child of God. I've heard him pray over his food. Listen, I saw him. He gave me a gospel tract the other day. He invited me to his family and friend there at his church. I want you to know, listen, if you need some help, you need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray for you, you go on down there and see old Billy Bob on the other end of the assembly line. Go over there and talk to him. Listen, I would to God people do me like that. And listen, I would to God that I could live so close to God like John the Baptist was, that listen, if folks want to know something about God, want to know God, need some help from God, listen, they'll look me up and they say, listen, if anybody knows anything about God, we believe you do. We want to talk to you about God. Listen, Jesus said, I want you to know you can look at my works. You can talk to the Father. You can look at the Word of God. Oh, by the way, there's another reliable source and his name's called John. Matter of fact, you sent for him. He was your choice. It's what Jesus will say to them. You sent unto John. You called John over here and you said, John, you come over here and tell me about him. Reliable source. Here in Titus 2:8, he says, listen, God said, you make sure you have sound speech. Godly speech, speech that edifies, speech that builds up and doesn't tear down. Listen, friend, a lot of times people don't want anything to do with the church because many times we're not exhorting the church or building the church up. A lot of times we're not careful. We'll tear the church down in the presence of a lost man or lost woman. Even our lost family. And they're thinking in their mind, my goodness, I've got enough trouble as it is. Why in the world do I want to go down somewhere else and jump into more trouble? If that's all church is nothing but a bunch of trouble and splits and squabbles and splinters and strife and bickering and fussing, why in the world I want to put my family in that? Amen or not? He says, you have sound speech. And those that speak evil against you, those that try to put slander up against your name, he said, there'll be those who will not believe their report. That's the kind of character God wants us to have. I believe that's the kind of character old John had. He was a qualified, godly man. Go back to John 5. Look at the second thing right quick. Not only do we see the character of John as a reliable source, but we see the convincing of John. The convincing of John. In other words, he has some influence. He made an impression upon people. Here in verse 34, but I received not testimony from man. He says, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Here John was a very convincing man. He had power of influence. Jesus said there's no greater than John the Baptist. Listen, John the Baptist was distinctively different. Hey, listen tonight. John had a tremendous impact upon the nation here. John preached repentance. He said, Jesus is coming again. The kingdom of God's coming. Jesus is coming. Get ready, repent or perish. And he had such an impact upon a nation. And no doubt they grew to respect John the Baptist. And they said, if anybody can tell anything truthful about this Jesus, listen, we know we got the Word of God. We know we've got the Father. We know we've seen His works. But if there's somebody like us of like passion, flesh and bone, living and breathing and functioning like we are, if somebody like that would step up and tell us about it, we might start leaning His way a little bit. Old John steps up and he bears witness. And Jesus said his witness is truth because he beareth witness of the truth. And his witness is true here. And listen, John, again, had a tremendous impact upon this nation. His message was clear, and the message was, repent, Jesus is coming. You see, John was a bold preacher. He stood there in Herod's hall, Herod's birthday party. Remember the story? And Herod's daughter came out and said, my daughter wants the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And listen, old Herod was having an adulterous affair with another man's wife. And he said, oh, Herod, that's not right. You can't do that. That's against the law of God. That's sin in the eyes of God. Oh, Herod had him thrown in jail. What long he had his head severed from his body. Listen, he was a bold preacher. He wasn't backing down for no one. He was a Behold the Lamb of God preacher. Two times in John chapter 1, verse 29, and also in verse 34, John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was a convincing man, a convincing preacher. Hold your place here in John. Turn with me just for a moment to Mark chapter 1. Look at a few verses here in Mark chapter 1. We're talking about a reliable source tonight. Listen, I wonder, is our testimony convincing? Listen, do I back up what I say with my life? My brother said one time many years ago when he first started out preaching, I remember hearing him preach this and making his statement here at New Hope Baptist when he was just a young preacher many moons ago. He said, the tongue in our shoe needs to line up with the tongue in our mouth. In other words, our walk needs to learn, start backing up our talk. If we're going to talk, we better be walking it. Amen. I tell you, listen, one guy said it, I don't mind you jumping up and shouting, just make sure you're walking straight when you land. Amen for that. Thank God. Listen, old John was like that. He was a reliable source. In Mark chapter 1, look there, please, in verse 2, it's written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger, Jesus, declaring here, before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his straight path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness. He preached baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. We need to get back to preaching repentance again. People still have to repent. Turn from sin and turn to God in order to be saved. He preached repentance. Look at verse 5. There went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized. Notice the influence and the conviction this man had. He said they were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sin. And John was clothed with camel's hair and a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with the water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Listen, he was a bold preacher. He was a Behold the Lamb of God preacher. Here John is convincing these people, and they turn from their sin, turn to God, and follow the Lord. Believers' baptism, we believe. Now listen, he was convincing. Look there, go with me from Mark right quick. Go to Luke chapter 7. Go back to Luke 7. Look at Luke 7, two verses here. Luke 7, verse 24 and 25. Here Jesus testifies of John the Baptist in 24 and 25. We've already read 28 where Jesus said there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But look at verse 24 and 25. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's court. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Jesus declares that he is his messenger. Jesus said he's the forerunner. He's gone before me. Now think of this here. How was he so convincing? Well, according to the testimony of Jesus, verse 24 and 25, he wasn't, number one, he wasn't shaken with the wind of the world. He said, what you out for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Listen, John was unshakable. He wasn't a fair weather Christian. He was unshakable. He didn't cower down. He didn't tuck tail and run. Number two, he was secularized by the world. Look at verse 25. He said, what did you go out and see? You go out and find a man in soft raiment, gorgeously, delicately dressed. He wasn't secularized by the world. John was different. I mean, listen, camel hair and leather girdle and eating wild honey and locusts. Listen, John was no hypocrite. John was no hocus pocus. John was different. He was real. John wasn't sorry for who he worshipped. Jesus said there's none like him. He's a reliable source. Go back to John 5 right quick. Let's move on. Look at the third thing quickly here. I'm talking about being a reliable source, being trustworthy. In John 5:33, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. We see in his character, we see this convincing. Number three, we see his consuming. That's the word that was in that song, consuming. Look at verse 34. He said, I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light. The consuming. John was consumed. What was he consumed with? Write this down. He was consumed with knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Listen, let me ask you the question tonight. What is it that consumes us? John was consumed of knowing Jesus. Paul the apostle was consumed of knowing Jesus. Peter, the apostle, was consumed of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. What are we consumed with? Listen, what is it that is so important in our lives tonight? What is it that's so important that we give all of our time to and all of our treasure to? Listen, what are we giving our lives to? And what are we giving our lives for? Here, John was a burning and a shining light. He was a man little by little being consumed. Jesus was John's life. Jesus was John's love. Listen, what's consuming us tonight? Where is our treasure? Because where we find the treasure is where we find what? Our heart. Because that's where our heart's going to be, is where our treasure is. What are we investing in so much? What have we given so much of our time to that we can't give time to God and things of God? Are we more temporal minded versus eternally minded? Are we more worldly minded than we are heavenly minded? Listen, I understand we've got to pay bills and keep the power on, keep the buildings cool in the summer and warm in the winter. I understand all that. But what are we literally giving our lives for? We're giving our lives for something. As one man said, my business will be closed in 30 days after I'm dead. Is that what we're giving our life for? That's what that man I heard say that is giving his life for. I'd hate to think something I'd give my whole life to and give all my energies, my treasures, my talent, my time to will fizzle out 30 days after I'm dead and gone. I want you to know, listen, you and I don't have to give our lives to things like that. We can give our lives to the things that matter the most. We can give our lives to the Word of God, to the souls of men. For those two things are the eternal things upon this earth. Are the souls of men and the Word of God. What are we giving our life? John was consumed. Then I thought about this fourth one here. I added this right before I came to church. God touched my heart, I believe. Number four, write this down. We'll close here. We've seen his character. We've seen his convincing. We see his consuming. But then God spoke to my heart just before I came to church tonight. And I want you to write down his concealment. And I began to ponder about verse 35. Look at it, please. He was a burning and a shining light. And what I believe God wants us to understand about this thought about concealed or his concealment was when you think about this burning and shining. Burning and shining, we're talking about fire. And for fire to burn, fire's got to have what? Some fuel. And the best thing, the best fuel to use to have a fire is what? Wood. Wood. And so I picture old John as an old oak log laying in a fire pit. And when I go by a fire, a campfire, bonfire, brush pile, whatever it may be, I'm really not focused on the wood that's burning. But I normally have my eyes on what? The fire that's flickering. You understand that? And a lot of times we're not looking beyond the flame and saying, oh, look at that wood burn down here. No, we're more interested in the fire. Keep your eye on the flame. Now, don't get burned. Don't get burned. Don't get close to, too close to the fire. Now, that fire warms us. That fire gives us light. We can even cook on that fire. Oh, listen, here John was like that. John was concealed. And when other people looked at old John, they didn't see John. No, they saw the fire. They saw the light. The Bible says he was as a burning and a shining light. Listen, I wonder when people look at my life, what do they see? Do they see me, or could they just perhaps maybe see the light of the world shining through me, the Lord Jesus himself?